Hi, and welcome to the first Defunct Land Patreon podcast. My name is Kevin Perger. Today we have a very special guest, the first ever guest on the normal Defunct Land podcast. It's going to also be our first guest on the Patreon podcast. It's Jack from Park Ride History. Jack, how are you doing?
I feel great. A man of many, many firsts.
Do you remember the first podcast we ever did together?
I do remember it. I remember it fondly. It was very nice.
Yeah, it was fun. It was about Epcot and Ipcot and Epcoy.
And Jimmy Fallon and Journey into Dr. Phil's Imagination.
Well, was that all in there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was, we didn't know each other nearly as well back then.
No, I would also like to point out that was the first time we ever talked to each other outside of like a DM. And even then, it was like probably 10 messages.
Do you remember that horrible Body Wars episode we did together?
Yeah. You mean to tell me you didn't like that?
It was just very, like, it was very old YouTube of us to be like, yeah. Jack, what are you doing here? They don't make YouTube videos like they used to.
I love it, dude.
It was great. Well, for this podcast, we're just going to be hanging out, you know, maybe for 45 minutes to an hour just talking.
Or 10 hours straight.
10 hours straight. Yeah, we're doing a full thing. If anybody who's here live with us has anything you want us to talk about or any questions, go ahead and, you know, put them somewhere. I'm sure someone around here will tell you where to do that. But in the meantime, Jack, the thing I really want to talk to you about, yeah, and I really want to get this content, you know, on the record, or we'll press it on a vinyl if we have to. You know, we got an Airbnb for Charityland, and we're going to have this big blowout thing where we had everybody come and we're all going to do Charityland together with Dan, Rob, me, and you, and maybe Alicia, and maybe Nate. And then the coronavirus did not let up at all. So instead, it was just me and you for safety reasons. But it was a great time, and I'll tell the story as I remember it. It was after the Friday night of Charityland, so we just did this big 7-hour thing, and then the next day we're going to do another big 7-hour thing. Super successful first night. We stumble down, you know, we stumble into our rooms, we go to bed, we wake up the next day, and I go to Wawa, I get us food. I start editing the parades for that night, which were not edited yet, and, you know, doing a whole bunch of stuff. And you come down 2, maybe 3 p.m.
Yeah.
And I thought you might be dead. And I was purposefully not going up to check on you because I thought you might be dead.
You didn't want to deal with that.
And I just couldn't deal with that today. We had other stuff to do. And so I go down there and I'm down there, you know, working. You come down at like 3 p.m. And I was like, hey, man, where have you been? And do you remember what you said?
What did I say?
You said, sorry, man, I've just been watching Deal or No Deal all morning. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about Deal or No Deal, because on Samsung TVs and Pluto TV, there's a Deal or No Deal channel.
Channel might not be the right word, because it was like, probably 15 episodes they just kept looping. Is that what you would imagine out of the Deal or No Deal channel? It was a little bit lackluster.
Well, they only have the episodes that they got the syndication rights to.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not the biggest pool. They're all in 4:3, the original aspect ratio for all those Deal or No Deal purists.
It's terrible.
But anyway, you come down, you say this to me, and you said, you have a very specific way of speaking. I'm trying to get good at imitating cadence. But you were like, dude, I've been watching Deal or No Deal all morning. You want to watch it? And I was and so we turned it on, and while I was working on the parades, we started to watch the episode, and you kind of told me about some of the episodes you'd watched that morning. Can you tell me specifically one that I'm trying to get at, and I want you to tell it.
Yeah. Well, Howie Mandel, he's a delightful host, and he has a way of like bridging the transitions, because, you know, it's pretty high concept for a TV show, where it's like, they even stated at the beginning, it's like an hour of high impact, high pressure, high stress, you know.
An hour was way too long.
Yeah, they stretch it out a little, but they have to do commercials. You know, how else are they going to make all these deals? Anyway, so the way that Howie Mandel has to transition from these high high stress situations into a commercial, it's artful, to be honest. One of my favorite ones, and the one I told this guy about, was some guy had just turned down a deal from the banker, and it was one of those deals where it was like a really high number, like a really good, you would be happy to go home with this, but he could have made an extra $300,000, but the chances were still really good that he could have had like $5, $1, classic Deal or No Deal situation. And he goes, Howie Mandel, he's like putting a cap on. He knows he's about to go to commercial. And he goes, all right, you just turned down this offer. You may have just made the biggest mistake of your life. But we're going to find out right after the commercial. And just hard cut, camera zooms out, and we're watching commercials. It's like, but did he make the biggest?
Did he make the, what a
segue. We had to wait.
Oh, I do that all the time. And it's the way, and you can't see it because of the audio medium, but it's the way you turn when you deliver that joke.
Oh my, yeah, because he's looking at the guy dead on, and the camera is just doing its camera thing, and he does this little, like, hand motion, point at the camera, right. Like, almost lean back. He goes from dead serious to playful, hey, you know, either you're about to just completely destroy your life, or, you know, we need to see some toothpaste commercials.
It was, and then we started watching, and the show is fascinating, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's the simplest show, the game show that's ever been created. And that's the whole point. Yeah. That's the whole pitch.
That's the beauty.
And the episodes they have syndicated are like the first episodes. And so Howie like starts in the vault and explains the concept of the show at the beginning, because that's what you had to do when you introduce a game show, but it's Deal or No Deal. So it seems so, it's like if Pat Sajak like came out and he's like, okay, so there's going to be this wheel and there's going to be different numbers on it. And it's like, everybody knows how Wheel of Fortune works. Everybody knows how Deal or No Deal works. But you know, back then they had to explain it. And so you'd be like, there are 26 briefcases, and each one of these briefcases is a different amount, ranging from 1 cent to $1 million. And you will pick one to be your own. And then there's a banker, and it's the simplest show, because in reality, there's only two things you have to do. Number one, Deal or No Deal, or two, pick a case. Those are the only two actions you can take. And by the way, there's no difference. Like, you can, there's no strategy. But when you get down to it and start explaining all of the lights and concepts and all these highbrow things, like, not highbrow, I shouldn't say, but like, you know, these big, you know, giant ideas that they have, like as they're inside of the, like a Ferrari's bedroom, that, you know, they have like the banker coming and he's like, okay, the banker's this guy and he's tallying the numbers and he's going to come up with an idea. And it's like, it becomes so complicated so fast for some reason, even though it's not.
I love it so much. It's comforting and it's so simple. I mean, it's basically just, it comes down to the initial luck of it. And then slowly your situation just gets worse. And it's like, at what point are you going to just cut your losses?
Right.
Are you going to gamble even harder because it's not going well? And it's the characters that you get to meet.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There was a cowboy. There was a bus driver. I saw a military guy. It's like, where are they getting
these
people?
You saw the Wuha guy. Yeah. They only show a few episodes. The great part, was the great part about Deal or No Deal is that they don't try to get people on that you're always rooting for. You know, most shows, they're like, she is, she's unfortunate. She has like three kids and like, she, you know, she's a single mom. She really needs this money. And then you're like, well, I hope she wins. But a lot of times they get people on there where you're like, I hope this person loses like a lot. I hope they get really. I hope they get offered a huge amount, turn it down, and then lose it. It's like one of the people I saw. They were just like, "I just want to have a great honeymoon." I'm like, "I don't care about your honeymoon."
I do. I wanted to have a good honeymoon.
Well, I didn't on that episode. The how would you play Deal or No Deal though, if you were on the show? You had to think about this.
I think realistically, I would probably play it safe in the first like triple. Not true. I mean, you know, first like 100,000 offer I got, assuming I even get one, people don't even get that. I'd probably just take it.
You
take can't
it
lose.
And get out of there.
But, you know, it's that mindset. It's high pressure.
Yeah.
And we have to
I don't
go to
know
break.
Because there's the idea that like it's a simple show, and they actually I think got in trouble for this, or they were about to in the UK version, because in the UK the gambling laws changed, and the whole idea of the show was like, there's no strategy. That was one of the pitches. It's like, there's
It is as close to real gambling as you can get on like a game show. They're just barely taking that title of game show.
And the only reason it's not gambling is because you don't put anything up yourself. But I mean, the line is so thin.
The real line is Howie Mandel, because if he was at casinos and, you know, if you had to give him money every time you wanted to pull slots, you know, it would be a whole different
animal. Mentioned the Apprentice crossover, and that was, you know, very surprising, because there was just so, I don't know if you saw this episode.
I did not.
Because I watch this channel a lot now, actually.
You're a bigger fan than I am sorry. Now.
This is what this entire podcast
I'm glad I got you into it.
So the episode is going along, and this guy is like, you know, probably three rounds, or he's probably four rounds from being done. He should just take the deal because it's like over 100,000. And so they, you know, Howie's like, deal. Or no, he doesn't say that yet because it's like the official end of the segment. But he's doing that thing where he's like, hey, we have time to fill. So I'm going to really like.
I need to break it down.
There's a 25% chance that your case has under $100,000 in it. There's a 75% chance that you walk home with. Anyway, so he's doing the whole thing. He's like, and he like makes it extremely complicated. So the guy's like spinning. And then even though the answer is take the deal. And then all of a sudden, he just says, you know what? I think we need to bring in somebody, a master negotiator. And then it goes dun 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 dun, and the lights go to the door, the vault where people come in through, and in walks Donald Trump.
Oh yes.
And he comes in, and it's like, you know, we're used to, you know, current day Donald Trump. He looks remarkably the same considering how presidents age. You know, he's got the long tie. It's like all of the memes are there, you know. You know, our wonderful Trump era comedy. He walks in and he does his whole thing. And, you know, he's like, he is charming in that weird way that he was back before, you know, it was weird. Anyways, so he tells him to not take the deal. And then he takes the deal anyways. And Trump goes and sits in between two models that they brought for him. And then, you know, he like is just hugging this guy, like Trump and this guy are just hugging. And it's like, could you imagine seeing this? I mean, who knows? Maybe that's what Trump's going to do afterwards. Maybe every game show is just going to be like, you know, Jeopardy. You know, maybe Donald Trump hosts Jeopardy after he leaves office. You have like because I always feel like you should get out. Really, it just depends. You pick your cases. Really, your luck in the first two rounds determines the rest of everything.
I mean, it really just comes down to how well are you going to deal with what is likely going to be an increasingly bad situation. Like, just how well can you hang in there, or how well can you just get out early?
I think the biggest thing is the families of the people.
Yeah.
They give the worst advice.
They're standing around encouraging them to do, make the worst decisions.
The thing they always...
And it's always... Yeah, they magically manage to have, like, the wrong answer. It's crazy. Like, when they should stay in, they're telling them stop. It's always the perfect, opposite. The irony.
Yeah, because the whole pitch they keep giving them is, oh my gosh, what do they say? They always say one thing on Deal or No Deal. The families are always like, we came in with nothing, we can leave with nothing. Which is the dumbest strategy to have. Dude, I was watching an episode, and I saw a woman make a deal for $8.
Hey, yeah.
Why would you do that? It's either $10 or it was like $10 or a dollar.
Or you could just say what everyone says when there's a big winner, be like, dude, they're just going to tax half of that. You're not even going to get it, bro.
Yeah.
Everyone always says every time there's a big winner on a game show, bro, government's just going to take half of it, dude.
That's exactly what they say. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
You're going to be left with $4. Why even take the deal if you could get, odds are still good, you could get 20.
Another interesting thing about Deal or No Deal, and if anybody wants us to, you know, divert from this, please. I think
we're good. We should do another.
Yeah, I could do it. And if you're listening, you know, you're not in, you weren't here live. This is your warning too. If you don't like this content, you need to come fix it. But since, you know, we're still going on this, I'll keep going. The thing about Deal or No Deal that's wonderful is that their whole thing is like, you can win $1 million, but you cannot win $1 million because no one ever won $1 million on the show unless they were on a modified board where there was like 5 millions. Do you know why?
Why?
Guess.
because no one was that lucky, and that's why I got to play.
No, no. Think about how the game. Like, what does it take for you to win $1 million?
I don't know. Whatever those.
No, not even that. Like, what has to happen in order for you to walk home with $1 million?
I feel like there is a glaring oversight. Okay, so that's half the reason why I enjoy the show in the first place.
Okay, so.
I'm missing why it's rigged.
You have to have the $1 million in your case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're never going to offer it.
Yeah, they're never going to offer it. So that means you have to have made it to the last two cases. And they're going to offer you something a little more than halfway. So let's say it's $1 million and 10 cents. They're going to offer you $500,000 to walk away. What do you do?
You know, realistically, I'm going to take the money. But, I mean, imagine if
roll those dice.
What an upset.
I know. Okay, but that's the thing. And what if it's $750 and $1 million? It's like, would you rather have $500,000 right now, or would you rather me flip this coin, and if it's heads, it's $1 million, and if it's tails, it's nothing? It's like, I'd take the $500,000.
Can't win if you don't play, man. Go big or go home. We came in with nothing. Your family's crying. They're like, they're going to leave you. They can't believe it. They said, how could you
do this? The best moment I ever saw on the show. I was watching the other day in preparation for the
in preparation for
this podcast. I did not let you know that this would be the topic. Thank you for coming on.
I'm glad this guy
whose family was right for once. They were making the right choice. He got offered like $125,000, and you know that he had like $500,000 up there, and then like two like small amounts. So, like, okay, 33% chance that you're going to pick a case, right? And that's going to be the top dollar, and you're going to be going home with nothing. It's one of those. And his family says, take the money, take the money. He says, no deal. I came in with nothing. I can leave with nothing. It was reverse. Well, he immediately chose the highest number, which means the highest amount he could get after that was like $200. So his deal dropped like $200,000. And... And he had two children, and his daughter, who was like 8, was like, you should have taken the money, Dad. You never listened to me. And it was the best moment I've ever seen on any TV show. Like, this actually happened. It was amazing.
I love that sound effect they play when they reveal a bad case that they don't want, where it's like, and everyone goes, oh.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's so brutal.
Or the, yeah. I'd like to hear them back. That's what it is. It's, anyways, but another thing about Deal or No Deal, that's the name of this episode.
Is that it's great.
Is... I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, they also make the models feel like crap. Like, let's forget the fact that it's like the most, you know, 2005 body image. Like, these models are like, you know, ridiculous. As far as like, you know, they are not diverse at all. But they make the models feel horrible.
Like, it's their fault. In the wrong case.
They're like Brenda Shauna. Low amount. He needs a low amount. And then, like, Brenda Shawn is like, I literally don't control what's in the case.
I have just as little control as everyone else in this room, except the banker. He's the only one.
Yeah, like, but they make her, and then, like, she has to do the whole, like, frowny face when she finds out kind of thing. And you could tell, like, when they didn't get a good peek at it, because they try to get a good peek so they can get their reaction ready, because they've been practicing in the mirror all day, because what else are they going to do? And sometimes you could tell that like they missed their shot at the peak, and so they're finding out live, so like their face is like because they're doing the math in their head of like, oh crap, how does this game work again? You know, not to, you know, it's a complicated game, it makes sense, but it's that,
yeah, you can forget.
They make them feel bad, like Brenda, low amount, Brenda.
Hey, if Brenda doesn't hook you up, then who can you trust?
I always wanted in the last part of the game, when they open the cases. Oh, take me through that. You explained this very funny to me. Like, okay, so you made your deal, right? Then what happens?
Well, yeah, they get everybody around the table, because usually by then they got the family out there. Everyone's, you know, they're kind of relieved. They're like, thank God it's all over. And then they hover around this case, and Howie Mandel, he just drops it open and just reveals whether or not you made the biggest
mistake.
Well,
hold on. They take you through it a lot of time.
Oh, yeah, they'll break it down.
What would you pick next? I would.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, they'll be like, you would have picked this case. And then they drop the case, and it's always just terrible news. And they keep making you pick them. So you still have to play the game. The game doesn't end. You're just stuck. And then at the very end of that, that's when they reveal your case. And it's never good. It's just...
you sold your case, which was worth $300,000, for $40,000. It's... You're right. Like they're all like thinking the game's gonna end, and then it's like news to them every time. Like it's like dun dun dun, and they're like, yeah, 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 good job, Dad, dun dun dun. And then they're like, now hold on, let's take you through this. And they show the offers every time. If you, what would your next case would have been? 26. Ooh, the bank would have offered you double the amount you just got. What would your next thing been? Like I would be like refusing to do it. I don't want to do this.
Man, the game's already over. Howie.
Howie, the game is over. The game is never over for Howie.
That works really well with my like sketch idea that I had, where like a more sinister tone for Deal or No Deal, because already like it's kind of scary. I mean, yeah. That room, and when the banker calls and it goes red and everyone gets all quiet.
And the audience is like formed in like Quidditch stands. It's not like a like a bowl. It's
the platform is very weird. But, yeah, I mean, could you just, like, because they always, when they bring out the family, it's always, like, this heartwarming, like, so you flew all the way from Texas to come here, right, and be here in California. You didn't bring your wife and kids. And it's like, yeah, I couldn't afford to bring them here. That's why I'm playing today. And they'll go, well, we have a surprise for you. And they bring them out, and it's, oh, everyone's having a great time. I mean, could you imagine if it's, like, he gets all serious, and he's like, okay, Nate, we have your family backstage. They're being held captive, and if you don't make the right deal here, they're gonna be dropped into the lion cage. And he's just looking like, what is this, Howie? Just like you're in purgatory with Howie Mandel. You have to constantly play Deal or No Deal. Eternal torture.
And every time it's just that, and then he breaks that, he goes to sinister, like devil. It's like, we have your family, but we're going to find out right after this. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun.
And you have to watch all the commercials, too.
I also like... Full. I also like when they split the episodes, where it's like, hey, we ran out of...
Oh, my God, yeah. That's an even better transition when they're like... And it's like, imagine having to wait till next week. I mean, I would be so upset. Thank God we had that channel. They were back to back. I got the full
right.
chronology.
And they make him, like, go backstage and change shirts and do the whole run out again.
They're like, go back... And they're already sweating. They're panicked. they're like,
it's been like 6 minutes for them.
They're not happy anymore. They came out all happy the first one. Now they're like worried.
I love the side by side of them coming out, like them. Oh, I'm about to play Deal or No Deal too. I'm halfway through Deal or No Deal.
It's a whole different world.
I just feel like they go to, like, they get the contestants at like Harrah's casinos. Like they don't. They're all gambling addicts. They're not.
Yeah. Like, why else would you play?
Suited to make good. Because I'd be like, Deal. Like, you know, immediately, $75,000. You have an 80% chance of getting a higher offer than that. Deal. I know how this works.
No, what you do is you say Deal early when you're on the show, and then a whole boardroom full of executives come out, like the FBI, and they go, you're not allowed to do that. You signed this contract. This needs to be stretched for an hour. You're looking like, Howie, help me. And he goes, I can't help you here.
I saw a guy that took the deal really early, and Howie was pissed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah. He had all these great little jokes he was going to make based on the guy's appearance, yes, and you know, they're all of it's kaput.
He had
it's
the
all
next
gone.
Six
they brought
rounds.
The family in for no reason.
I wish he would do that, though. I wish they would let him be like, okay, let's do the whole thing where you pick your case. This is your offer. This is the joke I would have made. Pick your case. That's the offer. This is a little segue. This is a little bit I would do where I would go up and we'd both turn our backs to the models and close our eyes. One time, and they always try to make it a little different.
Well, yeah, because they know you're marathoning this. Because who right. wouldn't?
They always try to make it like a little different, though. Like one time, like not if the contestants themselves aren't interesting enough, or they play, you know, after a while they really have to switch it up. Like one time they had Howie's daughter as one of the models.
Yeah,
did you see that one?
Like this little girl is on stage. Yeah, we watched that one together, dude.
Isn't that awkward?
You clear? No, dude. She's in training. That's like an internship. That's nepotism at its finest. Howie's hooking up his daughter.
I saw one from one of the Around the World editions. Because Deal or No Deal has like 30 variations in like 30 different countries. It's like a huge show.
Yeah, it's like America's Got Talent, but they just
probably because
better.
It's the. It's like negocios. Oh no, negocios.
yeah, they were. I'm telling whoever came up with that idea and was like pitching it, like the most cynical guy ever was just like, yeah, and you can do it in every country on the planet. And can you guys please just pay me?
It's an idea that haunts me.
He's got bags under his eyes. He's just like, please, can we get this?
This idea is so good.
Think about this.
I'm supposed to be writing my novel right now, and I just keep coming up with game show ideas.
It's all I got, but I need it.
but they did it Around the World one where they went to South Africa, which already I'm questioning where's the money coming from for this deal. But, you know, South Africa, they're probably like, and straight from the diamond mines. I'm anti-apartheid. But hey, everybody loves Tesla. But the, what was I saying? So the South Africa, right? They have the South African edition. And so they have like a South African Howie, but he knows the models' names, but Howie doesn't because he's out of the country. And they have these segments where Howie's like palling around South Africa, which is weird. But the Howie's there, he's hosting the show. It's like a Deal or No Deal, US, around the world. We go to the Deal or No Deal sets in every country and we grab contestants and bring them, but the models are from that country. And Howie recognized one of the models in one of the most awkward moments of television I've ever seen, where he recognized a model from like a risque magazine that he has, like a risque South African magazine. And he was like, I recognize you. And it was like too late to be like, never mind, because he's like on TV. But it was like, and he like named the model, and they just moved on really quick. It was very awkward. But they had like Howie would turn to South African Howie, and South African Howie would point to one of the models and be like, her name is, you know, I'm not going to try to guess a South African name. But anyways, the person they had on was the worst. They were the worst. They were from America. That was the honeymoon girl. And I wanted her to lose so badly. Second best thing happened. But halfway through, like they would ask each model what language they spoke, and so one of them was like Swahili, and this contestant, and I kid you not, this blonde little white girl, you know, planning her wedding, was literally in the chat. If you go to the meeting room chat, and I'm sorry to everybody that's not listening to this live, if you want to see what South African Howie looks like, there it is. Jack, do you see that?
Hold on, I gotta find this.
And so anyways, so they say, oh, you speak Swahili. Swahili, you speak Swahili. Hakuna Matata, Hakuna Matata. And they say, and they start singing Hakuna Matata, and they like do it. It's ridiculous. And I was like, this is horrifying. And they like did the whole thing, and it, like they actually did that on the show. And I was like, I want this person to lose so bad. Well, anyways, they rocked him with like 20 or 30 grand. But in order to get it, they made her eat bugs, which, like, I don't know if maybe that's it really is a South African delicacy. But part of me was like, is this real? And if it is, whatever. But it's like, it just feels like, hey, let's find the weirdest food because we're in a foreign country. Anyways, Deal or No Deal Around the World was a weird trip.
Wow. Yeah, I got to say, South African Howie is kind of... I was expecting something else. He's a little too close to regular Howie Mandel. Like, where'd they get this guy, dude?
He looks a lot like regular Howie.
They're like, just say he's South African. No one's even going to care.
I wish the bankers' negotiation strategies changed depending on the culture of the country. like in Canadian Deal or No Deal, it's just like extremely polite offers.
He keeps giving just way high amounts.
Way too high.
He's like,
like after the first round, it could literally be anything. Like the offer should be like $27,000. He's like, oh, how about, you know, $700,000?
I remember hearing Howie Mandel, he did like an interview, like a radio show, and he was talking about the banker because he's actually on the phone.
No, he's not. That is a fake phone. It's just a block of plastic.
No, dude. How else would he get the numbers? He's not wearing an earpiece. Yeah, dude, it's a real person, and I don't know if it's that the guy who's actually up there, if that's just like an actor, but apparently the operator is always like really mean. He was saying that the guy was like, it always insults the contestants and tries to like make Howie laugh and stuff. And now I'm just imagining the most like vulgar, rude stuff coming from the guy up
there. That's hilarious.
And Howie Mandel is just trying to keep it together.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, I saw one episode where he picked up the phone and had to cut to commercial while on the phone.
Oh yeah.
He came back and he's like, I've been with the banker this whole time. That's hilarious. But what is the banker doing? He's not actually calculating things.
Nah, yeah, it's an algorithm. Somebody else. Well, it's like a stand-in, because have you seen modern Deal or No Deal?
No.
Like it's a whole new setup, because and it makes you really appreciate the old setup, because it was so like dark up there and like kind of scary. Now they've got the person, and it's a pure like white background. You still can't see them, they're still silhouette, but like it just looks too clean. It looks like an Apple commercial. When it's just this guy and he's got like a little headset and he's on his monitors up there, it's so like, you're like, this guy's not on my side, he's the banker.
Graphic design
trying to get money.
Got to Deal or No Deal too.
Yeah, it's the minimalism.
We need to stop graphic design and designers until we figure out what's going on. I don't know what is up with minimalism. Have you seen the Taco Bell logo now?
Yeah, I saw a whole thread of it today, the other day. Yeah, it sucks.
The minimalism is getting out of hand. I'm surprised it got to Deal or No Deal.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's not like Deal or No Deal is such an institution. It can't be
touched. I see
touched.
It as that. I see it as an American institution, despite it starting like Switzerland or something. It's amazing. It's an amazing show, and I like how it's like so tailored towards the male demographic of like 2005. It looks like it is like if you gave $1 million to a frat guy to design a game show, it is exactly what he would make. I want a show where there's a lot of money, where there's 26 models that come up, and I say ladies please, and then they come up and they come over this big hill that's made of gold and flat screens, and then they all say hi Howie, and I say hey ladies, and then the game starts. The game doesn't start until after that happens. There's a big board with lots of money on it. There's Ferrari red everywhere. There's no beveled edges. It looks like you could cut yourself on any part of the Deal or No Deal set. It does not look warm. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. It's hostile.
It's
scary,
so hostile
to be in there. It's high pressure.
That's what they try to make it out to be. But I don't know, man. Like, do you think the contestants got to keep the case, like, as a souvenir?
No, dude. They're reusing those cases. Come on.
I don't know.
What if they're like, we'll take it out of your winnings? It's like, you really want
I'll
the case?
Do that. I don't
care. You know, no, dude. By the end of it, they're so upset with that case. That case that just lost them like, you know, $200,000. Like, I don't even want to look at that case. They get like PTSD every time they see a metal briefcase at an airport. They're like, oh my god, does that have a five on it? They're seeing
what
things.
Could possibly be in there. How much do I have right now? How many are left? What are the chances that I pick take all the big numbers off the board? I got a lot of big numbers. Also, I love in the first three rounds when they are doing terribly, but like they convince themselves that they're not.
Yeah, they're like, we got it, and they're always clapping.
Like they lose like $500,000, and they say that's okay. As if, okay, so I know I'm not going to get $500,000 exactly, but this is just more proving my theory that I have the million. Like, yeah. It's like, you don't have the million.
And then just the harsh reality just keeps seeping in slowly, slowly.
And more about Deal or No Deal.
Hey, you want to talk Deal or No Deal? Check this out. I don't remember if I told you this or not, but one of my favorite games as a kid growing up they had a Deal or No Deal.
No, dude, Wii I just game. Went to I went to a game store here where I live and I bought it.
Dude, I played that game so much because you could have your Mii character.
Right.
And like play the game. And it's just, I mean, it didn't really make a difference. It was just like, you know, you had long hair instead of just the stock generic.
Those graphics have aged horribly. Have you seen them?
But how he
looks so bad.
Well, it's disturbing because you've got minimalism. You've got right. your Mii character, which is like pure Nintendo, just a few right. features, and then Howie is like hyper detailed, yes, but also yes. terrible at the same time. It's so weird.
Somebody should pull up a picture of the Deal or No Deal with Howie. And it's just like, and it's the thing with those Wii games is they never showed you what the game looked like on the box art. It was always like a photo from, it was real Howie. Real Howie's on the box art. And so it's a surprise when you open the game and you find out what Howie really looks like.
But by then you're so stoked to play the game. You're just so pumped. You just get right into it. You go, I don't even care, man.
Yeah, we got that in the chat.
Oh my God.
And all the Deal handoff. It's so great. And the thing about like, so I don't know if the game, I've never actually seen an episode where they get down to two cases, but at the end of the game, you know, they ask you, okay, so it's either this case or the other case. What do you want to do? Do you want to swap cases? And you can say, you know, no deal, no swap. I'll keep my case. And if I ever got the chance to go on Deal or No Deal, and I also had enough money to where the winnings could not affect me, I would play it to where like, I would immediately say no deal to everything. Just rush through the game and off just the flimsy justification that I chose in the beginning and I trust my choice, even when it is clear that my choice was wrong. Be like, why did I even pick something in the beginning if I wasn't going to stick to it? Like, I have this weird creed, like these weird morals where I'm like, okay, I mean, you had me pick something in the beginning. I chose it. That's my case. I'm not selling it. Even to where it's like you have like $5, like you might get like $5. And so you're just playing the game. And then at the very end, no deal, no swap. And so I made that joke, and I made that joke a lot. And so now that's all I say is I just say, I go around all day just saying, no deal, no swap. No deal, no swap. I stick into my guns. No deal, no swap.
Your catchphrase. My catchphrase.
Deal or No Deal is a weird show.
It's so funny. It's my favorite show now.
I do. I agree. I rather like that show. I think it's pretty good. No deal, no swap. It's just the entire idea of the show is just so dumb. It should not be interesting to watch.
It's so pure. Listen, that's why it's so special, because it is. I mean, like, there's no strategy. This is not, you don't even have to know things. It's not like a Jeopardy or nothing. It's incomparable. It's game show at its most stripped down.
It is. It's the bare bones. It's like the first rule of a longer game show. Like it's like the bones. It's like, okay, here's yeah. the idea. Now here's how you can play.
They didn't get done with it.
It's not that though. This is the whole thing. And
at whatever ideas factory they have where they come up with this, some guy just wrote that down on a piece of paper. He's like, I'm gonna go get lunch. He left, came back, someone picked it up.
Already made the show.
Turned it in. They're like, look at this.
Yeah. And
wait a minute, guys, I didn't have finish.
I was going to add all these things that you could do while playing the game. And that's what I love. It's like, okay, it's almost like a challenge each episode where they have these bright-eyed contestants that come in and they say, through a series of discussions, music cues, and lighting effects, we are going to tell you up front that you can do nothing to affect your outcome. It is all random. A third party handles these briefcases. For all you know, you could pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and go like that. You have just as good of a chance. And yet, through those lighting cues and music effects and the discussions Howie has, he convinces these people that they are playing a game. They are not. And so like halfway through to the point where he's like, because he says it so many times, he's like, good choice. That was good. Good job. Good job. And they're like, yeah, I'm playing the game well. You're not doing it. It's all it's all bull crap, and it's just amazing. And then he, like I said, he extends that to the models too, as if the models can play the game. Like you know, like, well, I guess Chrissy Teigen was a model. Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous show.
But what else are you gonna watch?
What else are you gonna watch on the Deal or No Deal channel?
That's a good point.
There's not much on that channel.
There's not even very much Deal or No Deal.
That channel has commercials for cars I've never heard of.
Yeah, it was very bootlegged.
It was like, if you like a tough car that can go off-road, or a sleek sports car, try the RFX 39,000. Like, I've never even heard of this.
Where do they keep those?
And that just shows you how great a brand loyalty you need to, you know, for cars. You know? Because, like, I'm not going to buy a car that I've never heard of. But then again, I have heard of it now that I watch the Deal or No Deal channel. What I'm saying is the ad space.
I'm not buying it without Amazon reviews. Okay.
And also, you know what the best part about the ad breaks on the Deal or No Deal channel is, right? Sometimes they couldn't sell the ads. So they just.
Oh my God, yeah, and they have the countdown?
Sometimes it's like a 60-second countdown where it's like, look, we have the schedule for the day already. We're not going to just bring you to Deal or No Deal. But we've also haven't sold the ad space. So you're just going to have to look at this picture of Howie shrugging for 60 seconds.
Yeah, and it's not even concurrent. Like, it completely breaks the continuity. It's like Howie. He's got glasses and no.
He has glasses.
He's just, yeah. Well, you know what they should do? They should have it like those billboards that recently lost whoever they had on them, where it's like, this space available. I mean, I would definitely buy some advertising space on the Deal or No Deal channel. Just as a gag, how much could that possibly be? If the car company that someone made in their backyard can get a spot, I think we should look into it.
We should advertise on the Deal or No Deal channel. I think it's great. I think it's a great. I think it's a great series. I don't.
Now you're like doing PR. You're like, wait a minute, we can do this. We gotta have. It's gotta be. I gotta say nice things about Deal or No Deal.
I take back everything I said.
Hey, listen.
You know, Howie Mandel, I think it was OCD.
Oh, yeah, right. He
was. There was this one episode where the banker, like, they did a little bit where, like, the banker, like, spit into, he's just a germaphobe, maybe? So he spit into a cup and, like, sent it down for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it made sense.
He's so mean.
And it was just like a cup of his spit. And he was like, drink this.
And it was, and it's the whole time it's really upsetting to him. But he's like, I got to do it.
Just very slick. Slick set. Now,
the cup of spit thing just confirms my theory that it's like a literary. The whole show is just like an allegory for like a hellish landscape. Right. The banker is the devil. He wants to torment these people. Howie is like a white light guiding them through this maze of loss and horror as they lose all this money that they never had. And meanwhile, he's just tormenting them, saying, hey, you know, drink this spit. Or like, it'll always be something like that, where he'll go, they'll be like, they'll bring a guy out. He has like this huge beard. And he'll be going, yeah, I've been growing this beard for 5 years now. I'm really proud of it. It's at a good length. They'll set that up. And then the banker will go, I'll give you $10,000 shaved off right now. And it's like you just break this man in front of his family. Because his family's gonna hate him. It's $10,000 for a beard, but it's like, it's his pride. He's gotta, that's my beard. I can't shave it just because
you're
of this
so right. Was that
banker.
An actual episode?
That was an actual, yeah, shave your beard, dude, for like $10,000. And everyone's like, shave it, shave it. And you can tell he's like, I know I should. Yeah, but why? Why should I don't wanna.
Oh my gosh.
And it was that, just,
yeah.
He was like, this is even harder than the million.
I wish the banker would do that more often, though. Maybe that's something they did later in the show when they had to switch it up because they're like, hey, this whole thing isn't, you can't play along at home. It's not like a trivia game where you'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, I feel like I'm playing the game with you, you know?
Oh, yep.
There's somebody the put guy. The guy in the chat. You know, it's not like you can't play the game with them. You know what I mean?
Excuse me, you're wrong. You weren't paying attention. You can play at home and win up to $10,000. Deal or No Deal app.
What was it? The Deal or No Deal cash, like, something prize?
Yeah, it was something, some terrible thing where it's like, oh, you know, this is just.
That's gambling.
Horror. People at home are playing along with this, Nick, and they're going to win. It's so sad.
Man. Well, Jack, We're wrapping up here. Do you have anything else to say about Deal or No Deal?
I would like to be a contestant.
I agree. I would like you to be a contestant as well.
Because I think I got a good strategy. I think I can win it.
What's your strategy? No deal, no swap?
No, that's copyrighted and would be stealing. No, I think you just gotta rock it, dude. You pick your lucky number, you got it. Keep knocking them off, speed right through it, and then when it gets, you know, high intensity, then you just gotta take that first, what is that, six digit number, get out of there. And then the game doesn't even end anyway, so what's the point?
You gotta keep going. You gotta see the whole thing. Does anybody listening have anything else before we go? Someone said, Shane said, OMG, this was literally an hour-long podcast about Deal or No Deal. It was. We did it. Shane says he has a question for us. We'll take, he could have stopped us at any point. That's how this works.
Is the question related? Deal or No Deal? One question for you, okay?
Deal or No Deal? It's that simple. Are you going to take the money or are you going to keep playing? And also, it's clear, like, when they want to do, like, the opposite of something. Because he's like, you know, it's clear when we're running out of time and he wants you to take the deal. Because he's like, you have a 75% chance of messing this up if you don't take the deal. And then when it's like, we need to stretch this out, it's like, you have a 50% chance of having over a million. Like, it's just the way they phrase it.
Yeah. A little bit of a slant.
Shane's question is not related to Deal or No Deal, but it is. We'll answer this and then we'll go. Since you guys both deal in theme park history, I remember theme parks in theme park history. How do you guys try and diversify your content from one another? Good question, Shane. I never worry about diversifying my content from anyone because my format is so different from everyone's already, I think, at least. The way I tell the stories and how we go about them and, you know, the production and whatnot. It's just a different style. I'm not saying it's good or better. I'm just saying it's different. I just approach it differently. I'm never really afraid of doing... The only real thing I'm ever afraid of is making sure that we're not releasing the same thing at the same time. Even if they're different, it's just not a good look.
Well, you also don't have to worry because you're just you're just like the biggest channel in this realm.
Yeah, I guess so I don't have to worry, you're right.
It doesn't even matter in that regard. I mean, the other thing's a good thing too. I try not to cover stuff that's been covered because most of the time, I mean, we're all pulling from the same well, really. There's very few times where I've seen someone do something and then it's like, well, I can do this a little bit better. I mean, sure, differently, yeah.
Oh, really? I see that all the time.
Still, it's like, yeah, I just don't want to, like, rehash what everyone else has already said.
Well, for me, it's like, you know, Mark did a video on Adventures Through Inner Space, but I'm doing a video on Adventures Through Inner Space. It's a Vietnam movie.
Yeah, it's like that's another thing where it's good with you. I don't have like a too distinct of a style where it's like, okay, like obviously, yeah, yours is pretty, very high concept. You got Citizen Kane.
Right, exactly,
happening.
Yeah.
That I know that doesn't exist. I don't even need to look for that kind of that comparison. You can just rock it.
But also Jack has Keep Epcot Weird, which nobody's doing that. And I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, that's the only thing. That's the only thing that I got. That's the one exception to that rule.
Yeah. And I'll give a little plug to anybody listening. Go check out Jack's channel. He's my favorite channel. I watch him constantly. I've seen every one of his Keep Epcot Weird videos multiple times. Probably three. I think I've seen the robots one like 7 times. I know I could quote that video. There's holy 80s, guys, and it's better than face planning at a steakhouse.
Dude, someone sent me the they got the CD of
Seiko.
Seiko's album. Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, it's real. I didn't even look for that. I'm like, there's no way Seiko. that's available. Dude, those songs rock.
So check it out if you like Epcot. It's just amazing. Also, go to the Defunct Land store.
Hey man, where were we? That's exactly where I was at.
Yeah,
dude.
Go get a Keep Epcot Weird T-shirt. Hey, those are doing well.
I know. Well, they're such good shirts, and like I can fully endorse that they're like good shirts. Like, I mean, I don't even want to get into the whole print on demand stuff, but I will just say that I like shirts like these as opposed to those. So I'm very happy.
Special Bunny just got a Defunctland shirt today, and it is very soft.
Look at that.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for coming on and talking about Deal or No Deal.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
It's all I want to do. You know, when you said that we were going to be talking about Deal or No Deal, I was not expecting an hour-long conversation about it. But
I had a lot to say. Thank you.
You had your research done.
I've been doing research for quite a while. Yeah. So thanks for coming on. And to everybody that's listening, thank you for donating to Defunctland. And we'll catch you next time on the exclusive Defunctland Patreon podcast.